Ghostly Thistle presents The Antique Shop. Episode 10, The Escape. Ugh, what a rip-off. Why do train stations charge you 50p to take a pish? Not that I really need one. I just wanted somewhere to record. I've not had the time. I've not really wanted to. I'm recording on my phone, which is typically nearly dead, so I'll have to make this quick. I'm going home. No fair holiday or a weekend visit. I'm going there and I'm staying there, where it's safe. And for the most part, saying, I can't be here anymore. My train's soon, and when I get on, I'll be safe. Hopefully no one comes into this bog or I'm going to look like a right loony. Maybe they're no as stupid as me, paying 50p to have a shitty place to record. Everything came to a head yesterday. It's only been a few days since Madame Anora and her two pals visited the shop. And a day on top of that since Madame Norna left on business. She's still no back, and none of us have heard fair. I hadn't been to the shop since the invasion, but it had no been far from my mind. I needed answers, and it was driving me nuts no having them. I had one lecture yesterday, and I didn't listen to a word the lecturer was saying. All I could think about was getting to the shop. As soon as she was finished speaking and the notepads and laptops began to get packed away, I ran out of that door like a bat out of hell. I made it to the shop in record time, wheezing as though I had a chest infection by the time I got there. I flung myself through the door, the chime of the bell resounding round the empty space of the shop. No one was there to greet me, save for Kronos lounging on his glass throne. Out of habit, I wondered, aloud, where everyone was. And then, I heard an answer. They are upstairs, gorging themselves on tonics. It wasn't said aloud, per se, but I heard it nonetheless. It reminded me a bit of when someone whispers in your ear, standing really close. I was that convinced that I whirled round to the door, expecting to find a bloody ghost hovering there. But there was nothing. I began to scan round the shop, eyeing every dark corner and strange shape. Silence reigned. Kronos? I questioned the air, shakily, no really sure why.
Yes, yes, at least you have my name right. Well done. I've never met anyone so slow. But it's not as though you can hear me. As with everything else, you're taking your sweet time with that.
I'd finally lost it. I'd finally gone crazy. It used to just be me, talking to the cat. But now I was actually hearing the answers as if they were being whispered to me. What might be stranger was that I answered. Well, forgive me for being slow. The black, delicate ears perked up at my retort. Rather than lounging on the glass counter, the wee shite shifted his position until he was sitting up, tail flicking back and forth.
Good. You started to hear me. Madam will be pleased.
A talking cat. A talking cat. Really? Just when you think you're saturated with weird. I said as much to Kronos, the miracle cat. The eyes narrowed. The tail flicks became sharper.
I'm not a talking cat. How insulting. You can hear me talk because you are now as much a part of this shop as I am. So we have a psychic link. Of sorts.
A psychic link. We a cat. I should have just given up there and then, walked out and got the first train home. But, predictably, I didn't. Kronos wasn't done yet, and corrected me that he wasn't actually a cat, but the shop's guardian. I stared, hard, at the velvety black fur, the wee paws, the almost translucent ears, the squishy nose and the soft chin. He was a cat, a normal, domesticated cat. The only thing he was missing was a collar with a bell. But you're so small, I pointed out, barely keeping the laugh in my tone. He didn't like this and snapped back that he wasn't always that size. I thought you could only get small dog syndrome. Then again, why was I sceptical? I was standing in a shop where everything looked normal, like everyday items frae times gone by. And every single one of them could wreak havoc on whoever bought them. Lesson finally learned. There's always more to things than what they appear to be. Had I always known that Kronos was more than a cat? Looking back, there was probably a part of me, a very distant and quiet one that I ignored regularly, that guessed. The looks he threw me, the almost human-like spitefulness, and the fact that he's the only creature in the shop I've talked to the most since starting. I suppose I'm glad he talks. Means I'm no completely nuts. Our conversation, my first conversation with a cat that wasn't one-sided, was interrupted by the private door opening. For a brief second, before it opened to reveal who was behind it, I hoped more than anything it was Madame Norna. I gulped in a breath, about to launch straight into my questions once she emerged. I've never been so deflated to see Finn, but he would just have to do. He smiled when he saw me, his usual cheeky welcome, and commented that I was early. I told him I wanted answers, and I wasn't leaving without them. He sized me up, trying to tell if I could be persuaded to give up. He obviously decided against it and simply sighed heavily, resigned to his fate. He invited me upstairs, and I grinned. We all piled into the front room, and it looked lonely without the madam sitting in her usual position on the sofa. It didn't feel like the sanctuary it usually was. I realised then that it was her who made the shop feel safe, feel mystical. And without her, all of that was just an echo. Whether out of mindlessness or habit, I took my normal position on the floor beside the coffee table, except there was no steaming tea in front of me. I didn't want to sit on the madam's sofa or on the customer's side. I was in the middle, literally. No as ignorant as the latter, but nowhere near as knowledgeable as the former. The strange thing was that no one mentioned anything about the madam's absence. Nevertheless, no one sat in her seat. Finn and Kronos sat on the customer's sofa, taking a few moments of silence to gather their thoughts. I didn't gee them long before I asked about Madame Honora, more specifically what she was in respect to Madame Norna. The two threw each other a glance, filled with trepidation. And it annoyed me. Were they going to tell me the truth? Or just placate me? I felt like a bairn who's just found out Santa's no real. Finn took a deep breath and launched into his explanation. Fae what I understood, Honora is the opposite side of the same coin to Norna. Both exist to preserve a balance, whatever this balance referred to. Where my boss steps in to help people, Honora is the one that seems to cause this hurt in the first place. The next question out my mouth was probably the most poignant. What was a madam, and why were there two women calling themselves that? Unfortunately for me, only the madams themselves really know the answer. But the word incorporated a lot. gatekeeper, arbitrator, soothsayer, amongst other things. Kronos piped into this explanation by telling me that Madam was a hereditary title passed down from one female to another, independent of blood connection. It was after that I began to feel sick, because somewhere in the back of my mind, I'd already connected the dots. Madam Honora had referred to me as an apprentice. Madam Norna told me that only people who need to be in the shop find their way there. Was I in the shop because I was the next madam? Me? Muggins over here? When Kronos confirmed I'd be the next Madam Norna, I honestly thought I was going to see my breakfast again. I felt like the most stupid person on earth. Had this all been obvious? Did everyone else know, and I was the only one who didn't? I wanted this to be a joke, for them to be pulling my leg. But just as with everything else in the shop, there's never a punchline. In the front room, I still hadn't processed this yet, and there were more questions I wanted answers to. How many madams were there? According to Finn, there were only ever two at the one time. Kronos had said I'd be the next Madam Norna. Did that mean that wasn't my boss's real name? The answer was truly tragic. Madam Norna is the full title, and every woman takes it as their own when they inherit said title. Are we still in the 21st century? Since when are women's names erased from the record? We are our names. All of our flaws, talents and thoughts were a part of it. An individual's own contribution to something that would be shared by millions of different people over time. How could you be forced to give that up? How could women become just another number? I asked Finn what Madam Norna's real name was. He said that no one ever knows. Once they become Madam Norna, that's it. For the first time in our friendship, I could clearly see he was lying. My boss had told him that particular secret. And after Madam Honora's confession the other day, I was convinced what had been between Finn and Madam Norna had been more than I'd assumed. All right, I'm getting there. Anyway, I remembered what Madam Honora had said, that relationships with familiars wasn't encouraged. That must mean that Finn had been my boss's familiar at some point in time. I checked with him, and you'd have thought I'd have slapped him for the despairing look on his face. In the quietest whisper imaginable, he confessed he wasn't anymore. I let the silence linger longer than I wished. Did I want to prod at this wound? I'd been too hesitant with my boss, and it wasn't really any of my business. But still, I wanted to know, to understand. What happened? I queried, trying to keep my tone level. He hesitated before answering, and for a second I thought he was going to refuse. It was almost like something was writhing underneath his skin, making him uncomfortable. I braced myself for the worst, no really knowing what that would encompass. He confirmed, as Madam Honora had alluded to, that he and my boss had been in a relationship, beyond that a contracted familiar. The language he used, the starry look in his eye, I could tell this was something I could never understand. A bond so deep it was engraved into their bones. And then it had fallen apart. Finn had been unfaithful. Those were his words. And I've never seen someone look so disappointed or reluctant to remember their past mistakes. I didn't get it. If he loved her so much, why cheat? That wasn't how it worked. Was it? He was scared. The look he gave me said it all. Even he didn't believe that was a good excuse. Even he could see that was weak as fuck. I wish I'd left it there. accepted the answer and moved on. But I never do, do I? I challenged him, asked him what had made him scared. He was animated now. No angry, but agitated. His eyes wide, brimming with regret. And his hands tying themselves in knots as if he could twist his way out of his guilt. "You don't understand," he told me. "There's no such thing as happily ever after for her. Or you." I didn't know what it was about this sentence that struck me like a bolt of lightning. All of my curiosity died. I didn't want to know what that sentence meant. Didn't remember what I said or did after that. I didn't stay in the shop long though. I stumbled back to the flat somehow and booked the next train home. And here we are, in the station bogs, talking to my dying phone. This is the first time I've thought about it since yesterday. I didn't know what to make of it. And yet somehow I do. Everything's always sinister about that shop. All of the things have hidden barbs just waiting to catch some unsuspecting idiot. Was that arrogant to think I was different? I didn't want to be Madame Norna. That's not something I put on my careers form at school. So I'm out. I'm going home. The universe can find someone else. Oh, shite. My train. I need to go. At least I didn't have to pay to get into this one. Why is it just train stations? Why no bus stations as well? Is it only Jakey's that take the bus? So can he afford to pay for the bog as well as the fare? I fucking hate this country sometimes. Why is the train service so shite? The slightest bit of bad weather and the entire network just collapses. I went to check my train, only to find it was cancelled. But I'm no giving up. I trekked all the way for the train station through the pissing rain to the bus terminal. I'll just get the coach home. Oh, 5 more minutes, just 5 minutes. A weird thing happened just now. I'd got here, bought my ticket and found an uncomfortable seat to sit in. The terminal isn't as busy as the train station. Probably because buses are shite and take ages. It was boring. My coach isn't for another 45 minutes yet. So I was trying to read a book. Occasionally glancing to the board, hoping beyond all hope that my bus would jump miraculously to the top of the list of departures. The seat beside me was empty. But no for long. This woman planted her arse down, nattering away on her phone so loudly you'd have thought she was going deaf. I glared at her, but she didn't take any notice. I hoped she'd stop. But who was I kidding? When do people like that ever? I was just about to say something to her, in the realms of telling her to fuck off, when I noticed this bracelet hanging for her wrist. I didn't know why it caught my eye. It was on the hand that was holding the bloody phone up to her ear, which was right beside me. It looked to be gold, a wee bit dulled with age and wear, and had these pink crystal-like stones studded all the way round it. If I didn't know any better, and I hope I do by now, I would have said that all of these gems were pulsating, like they had a heartbeat of their own. I thought it was maybe a reflection. One of the lights in the terminus was flickering, or the Polis had just gone past with their lights flashing. But no, that wasn't it. The pulsing wasn't quick enough to be either of those things. This was like a rhythmic heartbeat. Thud, thud, thud. And every time the gems would become darker, almost blood red, before fading to their original colour. I couldn't take my eyes off this bracelet, and the more I stared, the more I noticed. It was bloody, and I know what that means by now. This wasn't a bracelet for a Primark. This thing belonged in the shop. Curious, I began to listen to her conversation. I couldn't tell who was on the other end, but she was telling them that she'd been lethargic lately. She had no energy to do anything. Even going upstairs was hard. She put it all down to being unfit. I'll give her a pass on the stairs. Even I get out of breath going up a few flights. But this fatigue she was feeling couldn't be a coincidence, could it? No way a bracelet like that on her wrist. Was the bracelet's heartbeat actually her own? Was it somehow draining the energy out of her? Why was I getting the horrible feeling that the bracelet wouldn't stop until the stones were blood red and its current owner dead? It's always sinister. Why can't these bits of jewellery ever do nice things, like give you energy or bring good fortune? For fuck's sake. I wanted to let her keep it, and I'd be lying if I said it wasn't because she was being a selfish cow by talking loudly on the phone. But even I believe the punishment should fit the crime, and death was a bit extreme. I had no doubt the damned thing would kill her eventually if I left it. Which left the problem of how to get it off her. I couldn't just ask for it, and it wasn't like I could tell her the truth. Oh, I think that bonny bracelet's going to kill you. Can I just take it? Aye, right. I'd be sectioned. But then, I had a stroke of genius. Once she'd hung up her phone, I put my most polite smile on my face and complimented her on such a pretty bracelet before asking her where she'd got it from. I half expected her to say the antique shop, but she answered her ma had found it at an antiques fair. It was close enough, although I'll never be going to an antiques fair until the day I die. She was all proud of this bracelet, beaming as she told me where it had come from. I almost felt bad about what I was about to do. Almost. I altered my tone into hesitancy before telling her the only reason I'd asked is because it looked exactly like a bracelet that had caused a lot of trouble in the 90s. Her face fell. The happiness faded. Just as I'd wanted, this bait was too juicy to leave, and she asked me to elaborate. I told her about this bracelet that was all the rage back then. Every lassie wanted one. But it turned out they'd coated the gold in some form of corrosive material, and that Lassie's skin had started to flake off because of it. Her face went ghost white, and I successfully kept the smile from mine. She inspected her wrist frantically, informing me that she'd had it on for weeks and nothing had happened. This wasn't a problem for me. I told her that the symptoms had taken months to appear, when this made-up substance had reacted to oils in the skin, but by then the damage had been done. To put the cherry on top, I mused that it might not be the same bracelet, but would she really want to take the chance? Christ, she almost ripped it off her wrist. I'd at least expected some amount of disbelief, or some more questions, but this poor lassie took me at face value. I grabbed a few hankies from my bag and held them out to the woman, explaining that I was actually a chemist, so I knew how to dispose of it properly. She didn't have to know I got a C in higher chemistry. She dropped it into the hanky as though it were infected with a plague, all previous pride and happiness gone. I wrapped it up and stuffed it in the side pocket of my bag, no really sure what to do with it now. It's not like I'm going back to the shop. But I didn't want to just toss it. What if someone else finds it? It'll just have to stay there for now. My bus is soon. Only 30 more minutes until I finally get out of here. Hopefully, the next time I record, I'll be drinking my dad's freshly brewed tea. Oh, for fuck's sake, why is nothing going right today? All I want to do is get home. Am I not even allowed to do that anymore? If the buses are fucking cancelled, I'll just call my dad. He'll come and pick me up. But there's no signal anywhere. So I'll just walk until I find some. Or walk until I'm home. Should only take a few days. No, don't do this to me now. I need you to call my dad. He needs to come and get me. I need to go home. Reed? How the fuck? You know what? I didn't care. You can fuck off back to the shop. I'm not going with you. I'm going home. Because I've not been in ages. No, I'm going home now. Nothing happened. And even if it did, it's none of your business. Go back to the shop, Reed. I didn't need you. I told you to fuck off.
Power off.
Thank you for listening to episode 10 of The Antique Shop. Episode 11 will be released in a few weeks' time. There is still time to send me your questions on Facebook or Twitter or by email. Thank you to everyone who's already been kind enough to ask me some questions. I will get to answering them in the next few weeks. Thank you so much for listening, and I hope you tune in for the Q&A session next Thursday.